Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So tonight, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano will weigh in ahead of their third encounter at Madison Square Garden this weekend, almost 8 months on from their second meeting in the ring. Who's the favourite and what do both women stand to gain or lose? Well, to tell us everything we need to know as we approach this history-making trilogy fight, I'm joined by Kevin Byrne, boxing writer with the Irish Sun, and Kevin is also host of the Rocky Road podcast. Kevin, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm good. So the background to this trilogy of fights between these two women, just run us through their history, if you will, firstly.
Indeed, yeah. So Katie Taylor turned professional following the Rio Olympics in 2016 and immediately became probably the biggest name in women's professional boxing. Those fighters who were in the ranks already, such as Amanda Serrano, she was almost 30 fights into her professional career. They knew a big name like Katie Taylor would elevate the sport, and instantly they were on a collision course. It took a long time to get them in the ring. It wasn't until 2022 that they finally met after several potential fight dates fell through and late cancellations and things like that. But they did finally meet just over 3 years ago at Madison Square Garden in a highly anticipated fight that absolutely delivered. It was a fight of the year candidate, you know, one fight of the year among many pundits, and like completely delivered, and it was, had enough controversy to merit a second fight, and we knew that one day down the line that would happen. But yeah, even their first fight 3 years ago, historic event, first women to headline at Madison Square Garden, blew people away for its atmosphere. There was many observers there who said they'd never seen an atmosphere like it. I think halfway split between Puerto Rican fans and Irish fans, huge amounts of Irish made the trip for it. So a second fight was always on the cards, and then it took place last year and possibly surpassed the first fight in terms of eyeballs because it was screened on Netflix, and in terms of drama it was right up there too. So we are for the trilogy.
We know about the controversy around the result. Lots of people on the Serrano side saying it was robbery, but the judges gave it to Taylor by a point each, and she has reminded people, hasn't she, in the most recent press conference, don't forget who won.
Yeah, that press conference took place last night in New York, and Serrano, I guess, as is her right, is kind of saying, I don't feel like I lost because I performed and my team told me I performed, and it was only taken away from me from other factors, basically, like Taylor's, you know, she's accused Taylor of use of the head. She did get a bad cut in the fight, and that took away from her, possibly took away from her ability to push the fight as hard as she wanted to down the stretch. But Taylor is showing plenty of ability to speak her mind and stand up for herself, and she just keeps saying, no, this is all nonsense. You're whining, you're complaining, and this is 2-0 to me. This is a fight Taylor didn't really have to take, I would imagine, because when someone's 2-0 up in a trilogy, they don't really go for a third fight. Like, we think about the best trilogies in men's boxing, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Arturo Gatti, and Mickey Ward. Those were 1-1, you know, going into the third fight. Usually when a fighter's 2-0 up, they don't go for a third fight, but there's just enough narrative between them, and the fights were so good and they were so close and controversial as well that there's plenty of merit and plenty of scope for a third one.
So what are people saying then about how this one is likely to go?
Well, I suppose the bookmakers have Serrano as the favourite. Taylor's an outsider. I've seen kind of like almost a 2-1 outsider in some places. And I'm not really sure why that is. Maybe it's because they side with the whole, oh, it was a robbery in the first fight. But I think if you're clear-eyed looking at it and you take away the commentary, which was quite biased towards Serrano, you're going to see Taylor basically implementing her game plan upon Serrano and winning the second fight. However, when you look at it as well in a different way, in the first fight, Serrano did nearly stop Taylor, right? So there's been no knockdowns in their 20 rounds so far. But the most hurtful shots in both fights have been landed by Serrano. So there must be a feeling out there that Serrano's going to find a way to close the gap in the third fight, and that Taylor, who's now, you know, a year older, she's 39 years old, like Serrano is 36, so they're close enough. But maybe there's just a feeling out there that this is Serrano's time. She's from New York via Puerto Rico. It's promoted by her promotion, MVP and Jake Paul and all that sort of sideshow thing. And maybe there's just a feeling out there that it's her time. There's a reason that you know, they're so confident going into a third fight.
Mm-hmm, but we don't want Katie to go out in a loss, do we? I mean, that's what most people are hoping won't happen. And is there a feeling that this might be Katie's last fight, that she might make an announcement afterwards?
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, to get into Katie Taylor's mind, I'm not sure too many have, maybe only those closest to her. She doesn't give too much away. Even this week, she's, you know, there's been a point made of her speaking her mind and basically giving Serrano plenty back and telling her, no, listen, stop whining, I'm 2-0 up. You normally don't even hear Taylor giving that much of herself away, but so she's felt she's had to speak up. Whether she'll stop after this fight, win, lose or draw, I don't know. She surprised us before, and I think some of her strongest performances have come in the last couple of years. I think her last performance against Serrano in the rematch was a very strong performance. I think the performance before that, when she avenged her first defeat against Chantelle Cameron, was one of her strongest and best moments of her career. So, I mean, while she is slowing down in the ring, she's still got all the guile and the craft, and she's fighting as well as ever, I think. But there's people who don't, you know, people who might not agree with that. So as to what she does afterwards, I would imagine if she does win this fight, she's already conquered women's boxing. She's already conquered boxing effectively. The stage doesn't really get much bigger than this. Yeah, there's a couple of things left on her bucket list. Crow Park doesn't look like it's ever going to happen. She'd ideally like to fight in Las Vegas before she wraps up, but I think a victory here would be a great way to finish up in the sport.
Mm-hmm. And now it's on Netflix, isn't it? But you'd have to get up in the middle of the night to see it. About 3:30, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I think the coverage begins at 1 a.m. So Friday night, Saturday morning. The coverage begins at 1 a.m. It's a big card. There's 8 fights, 16 fighters involved. It's a Guinness Book of World Records. It's a record in terms of 17 world titles on the line across the 8 fights. So there's a couple of British fighters on the undercard there in the, you know, and they'll all warm up to the big one, the trilogy fight between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano for 4 belts at light welterweight.
Okay, and we're all behind Katie as we always are, and that's about half three, we reckon, on Saturday morning. Kevin, thanks so much for your time. Kevin Byrne there, who's boxing writer with the Irish Sun. Nevin Maguire is here with a host of barbecue treats after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.